Praise God. Praise God. We lift up the name of Jesus. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I am so excited always to be with you today, to share with you God's word, what he's placed in my heart. Listen, I just love the Lord, and I love doing this, and I do my best to study and have the word of God fresh in my heart so I can always give and share with you a fresh word. So this is Purpose for Godliness. I am your host, Minister Daphne Smith. I haven't quoted or read the scripture which this particular part of the ministry is based. It's based on 1 Timothy 4 and 7. It says, but have nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. You are a purpose for godliness. So this ministry is designed to bring biblical insight to current issues, address your needs, and plant the seed of God ministry, sharing with you God's word through testimonies and ministries of others who will inspire you and motivate you to live a life of purpose. So the call-in number is 347-989-0144, or get in the chat room and share with me today. I'm having some technical difficulties with the chat room, but I'll go back and forth and see who's there. And if you're on the chat room right now, God bless you. Thank you so much for joining me today. Join me every weekend, 8 a.m. Pacific time, for Purpose for Godliness on Fridays, and praise Saturday morning, praise and glory. We appreciate your support. Call-in number again is 347-989-0144. Email me at purposeforgodliness@gmail.com with your prayer requests and your concerns and questions, and you know, even suggestions for the show. Whatever you feel will help this ministry to grow, we will appreciate it. Again, the number is 347-989-0144. And as always, when you're live, listen, there are technical difficulties, but we're going to press on in the name of Jesus. So again, thank you so much for joining me. Let's hear from Pastor Melvin Smith, the pastor and founder of Lifeline Missions Unlimited Incorporated Worship Center. We are located at 38138 6th Street East in the city of Palmdale, California, Tuesdays at 6 p.m., Thursdays noonday prayer. Oh, my goodness. This noonday prayer is turning out to be powerful. I know a lot of people say deliverance ministries or whatever, but it's something special about that noonday prayer. God shows up to save, heal, deliver, and set free. So Thursdays at noon, Sundays at 10 a.m., Lifeline Missions Unlimited Incorporated Worship Center, 38138 6th Street East in the city of Palmdale, California. Let's hear from Pastor Melvin Smith. Pastor.
Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, we say that a lot, but this is the day. Nobody has ever seen this day and will ever see this day again. So we need to rejoice, lift up holy hands, and worship the Savior. Jesus Christ died that we might be saved. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad about it, because I was a wretch undone. I was, just to think about how I used to be, I wonder how I could even think like that. But it's one thing I know about the Lord. He can come into your heart and change it and not leave a scar. And I'm so glad today I don't have to look behind my back. I don't have to live the kind of life I used to live. And I know some people, well, you know, sin, you do live. Yeah, but you know what? In sin, you might live that way. And you might make a lot of money and do a lot of different things, but you're never happy. At least I wasn't. I can only speak for me. Because everything that the world said I should have to be happy, I had. Actually, I had an abundance. And I was trying to figure out if I could kill myself or not, because I just was not happy. But one day, I went to a meeting one night, and my heart wasn't right, but something
praise
got a
God.
Hold to me.
Praise God.
And that was the Holy
Amen.
Ghost. That day,
Amen.
88 years ago till now, I've never been the same. But one thing I can tell you, I'm happy. I'm happy with Jesus alone. And I'm telling you, man can't make you happy, your wife, your mother, your father, your children, but Jesus can make you happy. So if you want a change in your life, choose this day whom you will serve. If God is your God, serve him. If Baal is your God, serve him. But I guarantee you, if you choose Jesus, your life will be changed for the best. God bless you.
God bless you, Pastor. Thank you so much for sharing words of encouragement. And really, that's what this ministry is all about, sharing Jesus and letting you know what the Lord has done for us and what he will do for you, and let you know that regardless of what state you are in, my goodness, the minute you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he gives you purpose. You already have it on the inside of you right now. He just acts, the Spirit of the Lord activates. Ah, I love that. The purpose of God in your life. And listen, I promise you, you will never, ever be the same. Never, ever be the same. God is just good and worthy to be praised. All right. Going to play one more song and give you one announcement, and then share with you what the Lord has placed on my heart this morning. All right. Okay, one more song. 347-99-014. Yes, yes, yes. We always want the Lord to have his way in our lives. We really do. We want the Lord to have his way in our lives. I was thinking about the scripture. It says, believe on me, as the scripture has said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And I experienced something Thursday in the noonday prayer that was powerful, powerful. Truly, God has to give us the yes, Lord. It doesn't come from our flesh. It comes from him. And you know it when the yes, Lord comes from him. Minister Daphne Smith, Purpose for Godliness, Friday morning, every weekend at 8 a.m., call in number 347-989-0144. And I'm going to put, Pastor, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
To get a little closer to your phone, we have a prayer request this morning. I'm going to pray for someone who is looking and searching for a better job. All right?
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Are you there? Praise the Lord. All right. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you and praise you and magnify you. We glorify you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and for your mercy and for your grace. We thank you, Lord, because in you is everything that we need. You are our refuge, our fortress, our high tower, our strength. Oh, God, you are our peace. Everything that we need is in you. And Father, we pray for this individual today that is looking for and searching for a better job. Oh, God, you know what they need. You know their heart's desire. And Lord, according to your word, your will and your way, have your way. Give them the job that they need. Give them the job that they desire. And Lord, when they get this job, hallelujah. Oh, my goodness, when you get this job, don't forget to glorify God in everything that you do. Oh, my goodness, give him the glory, give him the praise, because it's God that puts in you the will and to do of his good pleasure. And, Father, I thank you and I praise you for that job and those that are seeking employment everywhere. Oh, God, open up that door right now. Open up that door that they can have a better job. They can have a job that they can give tithes and offerings and be a blessing to the kingdom of God. And Father, we thank you and we praise you for it. Lord, we want better, not just for ourselves. We want better so we can be a blessing to others. And Father, you said, give and it shall be given unto us. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto us. And so, Father, I thank you for the job. I thank you for the desire to work. I thank you, Lord, because you are taking us to the next level. I thank you, Lord, because there is bigger, better, and greater in our lives. I thank you, Lord, and I praise you for working a wonder in this individual's life in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And when the Lord blesses you with this job, give him the glory and give him the praise and do what God has placed on your heart to do. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for joining me. Appreciate it. Listen, I have an announcement I want to share with you. Those of you all that's in the Antelope Valley area and wherever you are, all over the world, if you can get here, if you can get to Palmdale, California, I need you to get here. And I'm like Olita Adams, I don't care how you get here, just get here if you can. Our 22nd annual Virtuous Women, Mighty Men of Valor Unity Conference. It is now the Unity Conference. The Lord spoke to my heart and said, Unity, Psalm 133 and 1, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is going to be at the Hilton Garden Inn, 1309 West Rancho Vista Boulevard in the city of Palmdale, California. There is a registration for the conference. It's $60, and we kind of split it up, you know, because some people, they can come to the conference, and we have a prep breakfast on that Saturday. It is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, October 17th, 18th, and 19th. Registration for the whole conference is $60. If you just want to attend the conference, it's $40. If you just want to attend the breakfast, it's $20. But I'm telling you, we're going to have a time in the Lord. And the reason I know, because the enemy has been fighting against this conference all year long. So I know that the Lord is taking us to the next level. Our theme is the next level, the next level. And so we are going to the next level. And God want to invite you out again, the 22nd Annual Virtuous Women, Mighty Men of Valor Fellowship Conference. We are going to the next level, 1309 West Rancho Vista Boulevard in the city of Palmdale, California. And the information is on today's show page. You can register online. You can print out the registration form and mail it in, and you can also register at the door. So we are just excited about what God is doing in our lives. Amen. Amen. Any more information about that, check out my Facebook page, Purpose for Godliness. Inbox me on Facebook. My name is Daphne Smith, D-A-F-F-A-N-Y, Smith. You can get all that information, but it is on today's show page. And tomorrow, I'll let you know the guests and what we're doing and all of that. But if you check out the Facebook page, you'll get all the information. Also, we have T-shirts as sort of a fundraiser. It is a fundraiser for our conference, so get your T-shirt. Help us out. I mean, God is doing great things. Amen. Amen. I want to share something with you, and I want you to pray for me as I do this. I'm on social media a lot, probably too much, but I'm on social media a lot because that's how I get my information out about our church and about what we're doing. And I ran across this article from I think it's the Atlantic Star. It's online, and it says six reasons young black people are leaving the church. But I just want to say six reasons young people are leaving the church. Okay. And I know this is a difficult topic, and I just ran across it yesterday. But I was so intrigued by it, I thought I would try it, and I probably have to get Pastor to chime in. I'm really going to give him chime in. And listen, in the chat room, you know, we have technical difficulties. I go back and forth to the chat room. If you have any comments, 347-989-0144. I'm not here to bash anybody. I'm not here to make anyone feel bad, old or young. I'm getting older. I got kids, grandkids, and great-grands. All right. God is good to me. But I was reading this, and I was just intrigued by it, and just wanted to share with you. Now, I don't really have a scripture, but it's one word that stood out to me, and it was tradition. And we always bash tradition. Some traditions are good, and some are not so good. Now I feel the presence of the Lord. Here is the thing that I tell even the young people at our church. You know, we and even for me, I can speak this because I have degrees. I have degrees. I'm talking about educational degrees that I worked hard for and got to pay back money. You know, I have, the Lord has blessed me to go back to school. I'm going for my doctorate. And I have degrees. And when I first started going back to school, and we're talking about education because now young people, you know, and even me, I like technology because I can get it quick and fast and tell people what I need them to do right away, and it's there. But what has happened is we are now so technological savvy. I know that's not good, but I don't know how else to say it. We're so savvy with technology, and we have so many distractions that we have kind of put God in the back. I think that's what's happening with the young people. I don't know. Because, see, This that I'm reading is how I felt when I was coming up in church. And I'm sure when my parents was coming up, they felt the same way. I don't think it's changed that much. I think what has changed is that there are so many distractions now. And so now the church is trying to be culturally relevant. And now we're leaving God out. I have a wonderful friend and brother. He probably mad at me now, but I have a wonderful friend and brother. It calls it the Jesus cocktail. We try to mix all of it together and put a little Jesus in there and hope it works. No, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And no matter how relevant we try to be, the Bible says it's not by power, it's not by might, but it's by His Spirit. So no matter how relevant or how many programs we implement in our church, if the Spirit of the Lord is not there, I don't care old, young, black, white, I don't care what your status is in life, it is the Spirit of the Lord that saves us, heals us, and delivers us. Okay, that's my premise. That's my premise right there. So I want to read this. Six reasons, I'm just going to say young people, are leaving the church. Social and economic improvements make the church appear less relevant. That's what they say. Millennials are experiencing, and it says black millennials, that's really what it says, are experiencing economic and social benefits that previous generations only dreamed about. That is true. As a result, a need for faith in their lives may not have the same pull as it did in the past. Now, can I say, is that the church's fault or is it theirs? Feeling judged and being told to check their generational habits at the door does not necessarily create a want for religious life either. Now, I had two, stick with this number one, social and economic improvements make the church appear less relevant. Let me say this. I love my church. I love Lifeline Missions Unlimited Incorporated Worship Center, 381-386 Street East in the city of Palmdale, California. And can I say this? With all the love I have in God, we are not a mega church. All right. We are not a mega church. We are a storefront church, what they technically call a storefront church. That's what we are. That's what we are. And we preach Jesus. And I'm saying this, and I'm saying this with godly pride. I'm boasting in the Lord. And when the Lord blessed us to get this facility for less than what many pastors, I guess I want to say, pay for rent or whatever, this place is a blessing. And when we got the place, it was a bit of consternation. I'm being kind when I say this, a bit of consternation with the members. Pastor and I had to realize what God had placed in us. When Pastor saw the place, and I'm talking about socioeconomic improvements and all this kind of stuff, when Pastor saw the place, he said, okay, baby, we're going to wait. When I saw it, I took off running, started laying hands and praying over the place and saying, it's ours in the name of Jesus. Got a little patio in the background. Ooh, thank God for Jesus. We could do this. We could do that. That was what was in my heart. And the reason I'm saying this is because we have so much. We have all, when I say we, all of us, everybody, we have so much. We can get our hands on things so quickly. Unless you live in a third world country or someplace where you just don't have no access to anything, we can grab hold to things so much that when we see a startup ministry or we see something that's not, does not fit into our plans of what church or ministry looks like, we get upset. So I'm just saying, as a result, a need for faith in their lives may not have the same pull as it did in the past. Is it our fault? Because I'm older now. Like I said, I got kids. I got grown kids, grandkids, great-grandkids. I started young, and I have all these wonderful babies in my life. And I have children that are a blessing that the Lord has just given me, spiritual children. But is it our fault that you are lacking in faith? Because, see, the Bible says faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How can they hear unless there's preaching? How can he preach unless he be sent? The word of God is right. Believe on me. I know God is right. That's why I love the Bible. Believe on me. Jesus said, believe on me, as the scripture has said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. If you believe, trust, rely on Jesus Christ. Paul said, let every man be persuaded, convinced in his own mind. You reach a point in your life where you have to accept Jesus Christ for yourself, just like I did as a young person. I had to accept Jesus, and I thought my parents didn't know what they were doing. I thought they were old fogey and all this kind of stuff. Everything, probably every child has thought and will think until Jesus comes back. So as a result, a need of faith in their lives may not have the same pull as it did in the past. Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is by faith that you are saved. It's by faith. It's by grace, it's by faith that we are saved. It's a gift of God. Okay, feeling judged and being told, I knew I was going to go on a tangent on these things. I'm trying not to. Y'all pray for me. Feeling judged and being told to check their generational habits at the door does not necessarily create a want for religious life either. There's another article I was reading called Can a Christian Drink? Can a Christian Drink? And I know some people said no, you know. I'm getting older, and I realize the grace of God in all of our lives. But I also realize the grace of God in my life helps me and keeps me from sinning and doing things that is not pleasing to him. And what I'm finding out is, here's the thing, if I have to ask you, can a Christian drink alcohol? That's the topic of the other article I was reading. If I have to ask you, is it okay that I do this? Because most of the time, if we have to ask the question, then we already know something is wrong. So I read the article, posted it on Facebook, and had a conversation with a young man, and I was thinking that the Spirit of the Lord was convicting him by the answers he gave. And this is what I said. Drinking may not be a sin, but if when you are sitting down to drink, I don't care where you are, if you are sitting down to take a drink and you feel condemned in your heart when you do it and you override that conviction, you are now in sin. You are now in sin. And everybody has to make their own choice how they want to live. So young people, old people, everybody, if you feel convicted or some sort of condemnation, preacher is preaching a message, you might want to check yourself. You might want to check your walk with God. That's all I'm saying. And here, can I do the flip side? And for those of us that have been saved a long time, listen, don't forget where you came from. Don't forget your struggle, your own. I struggle with things right now. Don't forget your own personal struggle. Everybody is struggling. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. That's what he said. Old or young or whatever, he is a deliverer. So if you are feeling judged, if you are feeling judged, If you are feeling condemnation, if you are feeling conviction, most of the time, 99% of the time, we need to check ourselves. Here's the thing. You know why? Because no matter what you do, somebody's always going to have something to say about your life. When you're young, you want to fight back and do all this stuff, and I ain't coming back to church no more because they said this about me and that about me and all that kind of stuff. Listen here. You are not hurting anyone but yourself. And may I ask you a question? Did God, see, the comes from the Spirit of the living God, not from man, from the Spirit of the living God. I tell the young people at my church, if you feel a tug in your heart, I don't care where you are. If you are going to a party and you feel a tug not to go, don't go. If you get ready to do whatever you get ready to do and you feel that tug, don't go. So socioeconomic improvements, we have all these improvements, but the Spirit of the Lord is still the same. I got stuck on this one the first one. And the Lord is still the same. Okay, let me jump down to two because I got about 20-something minutes. Okay, the church appears to be old and stagnant. Back to six reasons young black people are leaving the church, or six reasons young people, millennials, are leaving the church. The church, because I looked at other articles, and young people are saying the same thing, no matter what their race is. The church appears to be old and stagnant. Okay, so the comment is Christianity and young people's culture have always. Listen, can I say this? The flesh and the spirit is going to always clash. Let me just say that. All right. More than ever. It has nothing to do with young and old. It's just going to clash. More than ever, the digitalized, I told you, technology, global community we live in demands that the church constantly elevate how it will be relevant to this and emerging generations. Well, as the church seeks to preserve, this is the word, tradition. Keep that in your mind. As the church seeks to preserve tradition, it constantly will be faced with resistance from, I didn't write this, some person named Leo, resistance from rebellious young people. Now, listen, can I say this? Help me, Holy Ghost, help me in this area, Father, in the name of Jesus. To me, it doesn't matter. I'm back to that young or old. When you make a change, people are going to be resistant. Some folks, listen, I told you, we got this church. I love my church. Can I say this again? I'm talking about the building I love. And when we were at the cultural center, I loved that too because that's where we had church. And when we made a change, some folks was angry. It wasn't just a young folks. It was old folks. Okay, so we got to make a change. We got to go to the next level. You can make a change in your house. And somebody, unless you live by yourself, and if you got friends and you make a change, they're going to be angry. Now, 347-989-0144, press number 1 so I can see the question mark so I know if you want to make a comment. So change is always going to affect someone. It's always going to affect someone. And the church may appear old and stagnant because there might be other reasons why, maybe they don't want to change and get with the digital era or whatever. I don't know. But listen, the word of God is still the same. The word of God is relevant. I don't care in the 28th century, years from now. the word of God is still going to be the same. I don't care what technology does. The word of God is still going to be the same. and we can say old and stagnant and whatever. And I know some folks don't want to change, don't want to do stuff, and don't want this. But can I make a suggestion for all of us that get upset when things don't go right? Have we ever tried to make a suggestion on how the church can improve? Just a question. Okay, I have a comment while I'm talking. Hold on, you guys. I know I'm on a tangent this morning, y'all. Yes? Hello.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Good morning, my sister. This is Sister Tracy. Good morning.
Yeah.
This subject is amazing because when you were speaking about making the change, it just dropped in my heart that this walk with Christ is not popular. The Spirit of the Lord said it's not popular, and you're not gonna have a whole lot of friends. Sometimes it gets lonely, but be reassured that we're never alone. For the Word of God says that He is with us, and He'll never leave us nor forsake us. So if you're looking for the popular walk, and if you're real popular, maybe you want to check your Christian card, because this walk and our decisions to walk with God is not popular. It is not going to make you famous. You're going to lose some things along the way. But be encouraged that Jesus is with us. That's the victory card right there.
Yes. Now, I want to ask you a question because I know you have young women, your daughters. So the topic is 6 reasons young people, I'm just saying young people are leaving the church. So I got young people, you know, they say the church appears to be old and stagnant and not changing. So how would you relay this particular topic or this, if they say, well, mama, the church is old, they don't never do nothing. I mean, every time we go, it's the same every Sunday and this. How do you relay that to them and express, you know, your joy or your enthusiasm or whatever you can to keep them enthused about the things of the Lord?
This is what I tell my daughters. That when you walk with Jesus, when you make Him your choice, that's the excitement. And I believe when you are bored, I don't really believe that you have really made a choice. Because when you get with Jesus, He gets with you. And see, He knew you before you entered into the womb of your mother. He knew you from afar off. He knew you at the beginning of the creation. Before He even created the world, He knew you. And so He knows your personality. He knows your makeup, why He created you. So when I hear those kind of statements, my thought is you're really not walking with Christ. That's my thought. And number two, I tell them, if you want the church to be something, you be the church that you want the church to be. And if you're really walking with Christ, it'll line up with Him. Because, see, we lay down our lives to be like Christ. We don't lay down our lives so Christ can be like us. Because when people see us, we want them to see Christ. Because if they see us, the world is in trouble. And that's why the world is in trouble. That's why this generation that's coming up behind us is in trouble, because they're too busy trying to allow the world to see them and not see Jesus in them. That's what I tell my daughters and any young person that I'm privileged to talk to.
Wow.
And that's the truth.
Well, amen.
Amen.
That's the truth. Amen.
And that's
Thank
the gospel.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for your comment. I appreciate it. You all have a blessed day.
You too. God bless.
God bless. Amen. Be the church you want to see. Amen. Be the church you want to see, and let the world see Jesus in you. I mean, regardless of the digital age of technology, we still have to let people see Jesus in us. So social economic improvements make the church appear less relevant. If you are feeling judgmental, listen, check yourself. Just check yourself, because I'm telling you, no matter what you do, what improvements you make in this life, there is always going to be someone talking about you. If you are the richest person in the world, somebody's talking about you. If you're the poorest person in the world, somebody's talking about you. The church appears to be old and stagnant. I love this. Be the church you want to see. Let the world see Jesus in you. I wrote it down. The church, now this is the part that the article says, the church continues to alienate young people with old stagnant ideas that young people don't view as innovative enough to keep up with their lives in the digital age. Now, can I make, the sister said, be the church you want to see. So if you all are having, I see young people do it all the time. Young folks are still frying chicken. Can I say that? Because they on my Facebook page. They still frying chicken. They still doing car washes. They still having bake sales. They still having, what are they had? I can't think of the thing with the babies. Some kind of pageant, baby pageants. They doing the same thing I was doing back in the day. So it ain't changed. What? It hasn't changed. So I, you know, if you feel it's old and stagnant, listen, boost it up. Be the church you want to see. They are putting it on. They still have flyers that they pass out. They still have in Youth Sunday on Sunday mornings. They still doing the same thing I was doing, you know, because it haven't changed. The thing is, you have to be excited about what God is doing at your church. And if you are excited about it, other people will be excited about it. I mean, it hasn't changed. I'm telling you, I'm not going to take a break. I'm going to keep going with this and move on. Okay, so the third one is young evangelicals feel, see, we got all these terms. Young evangelicals feel they have to choose between their intellectual integrity. See, and I can talk about this one, and their faith. I may sound country, I really do, but I have several degrees. Millennials long for faith communities in which they are safe in asking tough questions and wrestling with doubt. Up to one-third of young people say the church is out of step on scientific developments and debate. Now, can I say this? There are several, I'm going to say institutions or what have you, that young people can go to, and they hardly ever go. There's the Creation Institute. That's wonderful. I do plan to go, and it's one in Santee, California. And they tell me all the time they never see young people there. I don't know what the scientific debates are. What scientific debates do you want, or scientific developments? When you read Job, when Job had questions for the Lord, and I think it's in Job. I'm going to look for it really quick. In Job 40, maybe 42 and 43 or somewhere around there. And the Lord lays out, here it is. Thank you, Holy Ghost. So here it is. Where was thou when I laid the, see, let me tell you, the Bible is not scientific, but it's science in there. Come on now. It's astronomy in there. Now, when I laid the foundations of the earth, who laid the measures thereof? Who stretched out the line? And whereupon are the foundations? This is in the King James Version. I probably should have read it in something else, but I got King James. Or who laid the cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for glory, who shut up the sea with the, come on, y'all. Come on. Who shut up the sea with the doors when it break forth as if it issued out of the womb? When I made the cloud the garment thereof and thick darkness. Come on. When I break up and break it and break up for it my decree place and set bars and doors. He said, I set the length of the waves and the oceans and all. Come on now. Come on now. And you may give some people that may not know all. We don't know all the answers. And there may be some folks that don't believe in global warming or whatever that is. But have you, and it may be some people that are intimidated by the questions you ask. That's on them. That's not on you. And you cannot lump the whole church into this category. This category. Okay, so study on Tuesdays. And I always open it up to questions, which leaves me vulnerable, vulnerable in case I am not able to ask the questions. So I put the questions out there or the statements out there, and I ask everybody at the church, young and old, do you have a question? I ask everybody, please participate, ask questions. I want people to ask questions. I tell people, call me if you have questions. Ask questions. Ask questions. And so I do get the difficult questions. Some I can answer, and some I cannot. And some I know because the Spirit of the Lord deals with me, they're asking the questions to try to trick me or to make me look bad, just like they did Jesus. And they'll say flat out, well, I don't agree with you. That's cool. I'm not here to debate the scriptures. If you can give me a scripture for why you believe what you believe, then we can talk. But if you just want to be angry and upset and frustrated and whatever and say the church is not relevant because it's not scientific or out of tune, out of step, out of whatever, then like the sister said, I love this. Be the church you want to see. Be the church you want to see. And I have this little thing on my mind that I saw on social media a while back. I'm not going to say the name of the song. I really don't know the name of the song too much. And I'm not going to say the person that made the song. But I was looking at it, and young people were using this particular song for praise and worship. And they rearranged the cuss words, because there was a couple of cuss words in there that they had to rearrange. Because when I heard the song, I said, well, this really don't sound like Jesus to me. Let me see what the original song sounds like. I'm not so opposed to that. What I'm opposed to is this. If the Spirit of the Lord is not in it, we don't need it. We really don't need it. With all the science and scientific developments and everything that are coming, even back in, can I say this? Back in the day, way back in the day, before I was born, with inventors, Christian inventors, people that said the world was round and the whole world said it was flat, they got excommunicated, they were killed, they were kicked, you know, they were kicked out of church, they were ostracized, all of this. Part of this Christian walk is persecution. I love the Holy Ghost. It's persecution. And just because we have this wonderful education and have all these, it's a whole lot of stuff that I know that I don't ever bring to my church, because you know they don't, and really to tell you the truth, I don't really care. Some of these topics that I've heard and learned and philosophical discussions that I've had, I don't bring to my church. I don't bring to my church. And if the Lord, if the Spirit of the Lord allows me to bring it up, I'll bring it up. But just to bring it up to have a debate, I don't bring it up. And the Bible tells us not to debate. So young people, you are there. We are coming to church. Maybe you're coming to church because your parents is making you, because I've been there too. My parents made me come to church. Maybe you come to church because your parents are making you. But there will come a time when you will have to accept Christ for yourself. And every scientific question you may have, every debate you may have in your heart, my kids said the same thing. I don't understand why we got to suffer because Adam ate the apple. And then they said apple. I said fruit. Adam ate the fruit. You know, all of these questions we always had. We will never be able to explain everything. This walk is by faith. It's by faith. It's by faith. It's by faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, so I'm going to do one more and make this short. You all join me tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Disagreement with passages in the Bible on slavery and genocide. And I just want to put this out here because it's a wonderful book. Let me give you all a book to read if you ever want to read it. It's a philosophical book. It's called Is God, I don't have it in front of me, Is God Moral Monster? Is God a Moral Monster? And he has a chapter on what some people consider genocide. And this author also talks about slavery and genocide. So it's a good read. It's really, and it's not technical. It doesn't have 16 letters in one word and all that. It's in layman's terms, so we all can understand it. And slavery, to some, is a big issue, but there was always slavery. Since sin, there was always slavery, and sin is in the Bible, and it wasn't just the Jewish people that was in slavery or the black people that were in slavery. Black folks had slaves. The Jewish people had slaves. The Canaanites had slaves. Everybody had somebody that was working for them. That's how it goes. And the Bible does speak about slavery in many passages. Here is the thing. Anybody that uses the Bible to enslave someone, especially in 2017, God help you. God help you. Here's what this says, and I got to make sure that I'm timely. It says young people are now waking up to the fact that Christianity and the Bible was used as a tool to control their ancestors, and that's not a narrative they want to be a part of. Let me tell you all, black millennials, black young people, I am the daughter, and I'm proud of it, of a sharecropper. My children, my grandchildren are descendants of slaves. We are going to have to learn how to embrace our history and move past it. It is what it is. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. But that's part of my history. That's part of my history as a black person. Amen. Amen. So whatever your ancestry is, good or bad, embrace it. Because the Bible says, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. All right, I'm going to have to let you guys go. I have talked because I'll be back tomorrow at 8 o'clock. And listen, join in the discussion with me tomorrow morning. Please, 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 please do. And let's just have a discussion about this, about why people, not just, you know, millennials, but people are leaving the church. And everybody has their reasons why they're leaving, right? All right, so I'm going to let you go. And thank you so much for joining me today. I pray something has been said that will help you and encourage you and lift you and know that you have purpose in your life. This is Minister Daphne Smith. You've been listening to me on Purpose for Godliness on Blog Talk Radio. I'm praying for you. Pray for me. And I want you to know that you are Purpose for Godliness. God bless you. Have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Glory in advance. Clap your hands again.